Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today, an issue that I believe ought to grasp the hearts and the lives and grip the minds and the focus of each and every conservative Christian patriot that's listening to me today. I believe that it's time that we as conservatives, and in particular conservative Christians, that we speak up, stand up, be heard, be seen, and cease the silence. Let me remind you once again that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're tuned in by way of the Internet, it's 904-831-0917. We have the delight today of having one of our 4 sons on the air with me, Greg Youngblood. Greg resides up in the southern tip of heaven. That's up in northeast Tennessee. Greg, thank you for joining us. Tell us about your weather report today and how you're faring in relationship to the weather there in that southern tip of heaven.
You poor folks don't want to trade places with me. We actually have 4 seasons here in East Tennessee. Y'all don't know anything about that down that hot place called Florida. I mean, my goodness, y'all got 11 and a half months mowing season. I'm about to stop mowing up here, and then I get to enjoy the lawn and enjoy the sunsets for 6 months. I don't have to be out there on the lawnmower for 8 or 10 hours a week. So, the fact is, East Tennessee is truly the southern tip of heaven. But any of you folks from the left coast, forget I said anything like that. And we got big old rattlesnakes and copperheads up here and spiders as big as your house. You don't want to come up here, over here. but for you God-loving, God-fearing, family-loving, America-loving folks, so the southern tip of heaven is truly in East Tennessee.
The gates are open.
I think the gates are open.
Greg, hold your thought just a minute. We'll get back on the subject. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over with your question or comment, please.
Hey, Youngblood Clan. How y'all doing today?
We're doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing good, doing good. I've watched segments of that speech, and what I can remark, the remarkable part that sticks in my mind, not remarkable, but I don't know, just I've never seen anything like the imagery that was portrayed as far as the background and the lighting for this presidential speech. Also, the manner of his speech, he did not talk about the economy. He did not talk about inflation. He did not talk about employment. He did not talk about anything that would be a unifier to anybody in this nation. Basically, from the blurbs and everything that I've read and seen, he said, agree with me or else.
Yes.
I don't find that to be the speech of anybody who has a regard for the welfare of the citizens of the United States whenever he has singled out over half of the nation as undesirable. This man absolutely
he called us fascist.
Absolutely in his cognitive decline there, he is just exhibiting more of what I've seen through his entire career of grift, and that's just mean-spirited garbage. This man has been on the wrong side of every single policy issue since Delaware elected him as a senator in the 70s.
You're exactly right. Greg, how do you respond to Jim's statements or questions that you might have?
Well, this is kind of a Lenin-esque kind of thing, and it's, you know, accuse your opponent of what you are doing. And by using the term fascism, accusing the folks on the right, accusing conservatives on the right, accusing Make America Great Again Republicans of being fascist, understand that's exactly what they're doing. Ronald Wilson Reagan said many years ago, if fascism comes to America, it will come clothed in the clothes of liberalism. It will come calling itself liberalism. These folks understand fascism and further defining that. Fascism is where, the private sector still owns business, but everything is controlled. Everything is dictated by government. Understand, government has grown at the greatest pace in human history. And now look at what they're wanting to do with the most terrifying agency on the face of the planet, the IRS. They want to grow up by 87,000. Of course, that's been fact-checked by the AP and others. They don't really want to grow up by 87,000. Well, tell you what, those $62 billion is going to do something. The millions of dollars in ammunition and additional guns, that's for a purpose. That's intended to strike fear in the hearts of Americans, to shut your mouth if you happen to disagree with this administration, because you might get a fly-by-night investigation. You might get one of these audits. I mean, we saw that Catherine Engelbrecht faced that, audits personally and audits with her business, just because she was begging the question, you know, let's true the vote. Let's see if the voter registrations are actually legit. The fear factor, the fascism allegation, obviously is something they're engaged in, but they would like to convince Americans that that's a Republican thing. The idea of not adhering to the Constitution, are they out of their mind? I mean, we saw, as much as they said, well, Donald Trump was always assaulting the press. Did Donald Trump unleash the Department of Justice on the press and investigate and jail members of the press? Well, no, that was done by Barack Obama, and that's being done by Biden and his Department of Justice today. You have Project Veritas that has had their offices raided, had their electronic devices seized and gone through. You've now had, not on the media side, but on the Trump side, the notion of attorney-client privilege is gone. Half a dozen of Trump's attorneys have had their offices and homes raided, and, of course, now Donald Trump's office in Mar-a-Lago raided, and of course the underwear and everything else. They've taken garments of clothing. The FBI picked up garments of clothing and took it back with them. What in the world is wrong with it? However, Biden would have you believe that it's those MAGA Republicans, they're the ones that don't honor the Constitution. I'll have you know, Article 2 in the Constitution requires that the president see that the laws be faithfully executed. I got this question for you, folks. That's required in the Constitution, and that president has sworn an oath to support, protect, and defend the Constitution. Is our southern border being protected? Are the laws dealing with incursions on the southern border, are those actually being enforced? Article 4, Section 4 in the Constitution says, a republican form of government shall be preserved for all states, and all states shall be protected against invasion. I mean, California and southern Texas and New Mexico, those states are being invaded today. And the left, they start howling as soon as you send a couple busloads to Chicago or a couple busloads to New York City. Oh, woe is me. I mean, those are sanctuary cities. They should be happy to see, not 50 or 100 at a time. They should be happy to see the 3 million that have illegally entered this country and been released within the innards of the country. They should be happy to see them showing up on their doorstep. But instead, they're howling and calling Governor Abbott a racist. Come on, people. The up is down and down is up. Literally, the biblical one of the signs of his kingdom to be as it was in the days of Noah, sin everywhere. But it'll also people be calling good evil, and evil they'll call good. That's what we're seeing today. And
absolutely,
again, the left is saying, Biden is saying that's what the Republicans are doing. All the evidence is on the side of him being absolutely as corrupt as the day is long.
Absolutely. Jim, I've kept you over, but I appreciate your call. Thank you so much. We need to keep looking up. Need to keep looking up, realizing our redemption is near. Greg, it's not just the FBI that is a tool now of Fascist Joe, but as I understand it, all of the agencies that are the three-letter acronyms, FBI, CIA, CDC, FDA, et cetera, all being used today as never in the history of America as a tool in Biden's hands to undermine and destroy this great nation. In fact, I am looking at an article that says, judge orders Fauci and other top officials to produce records for big tech government censorship lawsuit. They have now, because of a lawsuit that's been instituted, this is Dateline September the 6th, by the way, it says in part, Dr. Anthony Fauci, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, and other top Biden administration officials who were resisting efforts to obtain their communications with big tech companies must hand over all of the records, a federal judge just ruled September the 6th. U.S. District Judge Terry Daughtry, a Trump appointee, ordered the government to quickly produce all documents after it was sued by the attorney generals of Louisiana, Missouri, and Missouri over the alleged collusion with big tech firms such as Facebook. The initial discovery, released August the 31st, revealed that more than 50, hear me, more than 50 government officials across dozens and dozens of government agencies were involved in applying pressure to social media companies to censor its users. But some of the officials refused to provide any answers at all, or answers or did not answer all the questions posed by the plaintiffs. Among them, Dr. Anthony Fauci, who serves as director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, NIAID, and chief medical advisor to President Joe Biden. The government claimed that Fauci should not be required to answer all questions, and it goes into their diatribe as to why. The new ruling on Tuesday, breaking the stalemate, Daughtry and both Fauci and Jean-Pierre, the press secretary, needed to comply with the interrogatories and the records production that's required. First, the request and information is very relevant to the plaintiff's claims. Dr. Fauci's communications would be relevant to the plaintiff's allegations that he referred to as alleged suppression of speech and truth in relationship to COVID-19. And I've got a whole host of other articles, Greg, that's before me now, talking about the lies about CDC, how the CDC lied to the public, CDC lied to the president, CDC lied about the facts and the deaths and the potential. They lied about masks. They lied about the COVID vaccination. They lied about the requirement of 6-foot distance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, Greg, with that being said, do we see any potentiality of a reversal of the corruption within government? Let's use some hypotheticals. If Donald J. Trump could walk back in office today, can the sewer be drained? Can the swamp be drained? Is there a possibility of going back to a constitutional republic that God has given the United States of America? Have we lost it completely? Is there hope? What should we do? And I'm speaking from the basis that I view Christians and churches and pastors to be silent. I don't see a hue and cry from the general public that we've been lied to, deceived, and our liberties, our freedom, and truth being squashed in America.
Well, we've raised a few generation of political ignoramuses, and I mean no disrespect. This was done by design. The left has controlled academia for nearly 115 years, And that control has just grown in the past few years. We see that the numbers are more than 90% of college professors and school teachers identify as left, leftist, Democrats, what, socialist, one of those extreme, oftentimes left end of the spectrum, politically speaking, definers. And they have intentionally and systematically removed civics training, literally citizen training. They've removed constitutional training. They've removed, you know, giving base understanding to individuals at an academic level. I mean, beginning in the earliest grades, but all the way through the collegiate levels. And we have all your gender studies degrees and all this socialist garbage. You've got AOC graduating Boston University with a degree in economics, and the girl could not balance her checkbook. I guarantee it. Okay. They've dumbed down a few generations of people. So, population that doesn't know its rights cannot stand and defend their rights.
Mm-hmm.
It's
right.
Easy to control those individuals. It's easy to take away rights from people that don't know what rights that they have. This is the first time in my life I've actually contemplated supporting an Article 5 Convention of States, the idea of going back and reviewing some things. The fearful thing is that it could be a runaway convention, if you will, and you have a million mm-hmm. people with a million different ideas. You don't know what may come. But you mentioned Fauci earlier. Fauci will not ever give us clear and concise answers. He will go to his grave with the secrets. He will go to his grave and not allow the population to hear from his lips that he helped fund, using taxpayer dollars, he helped fund the building through this gain of function research, the building of the thing that we call coronavirus, the building of this Wuhan flu. He helped pay for it. And I don't know that he gave the nod to unleash it on the planet, but it was unleashed on the planet and cost many, many lives. Then he gave the nod to, he was okay with lying. He considered it a series of noble lies, at least that's the kind of language that has slipped out. Noble lies, whether it's the masking or the shutdown or the vaccines, noble lies. They're going to deceive you, but it's for a greater purpose. It's for a grander purpose. I suppose the greater, grander purpose is the depopulation of the planet. I don't know. But we're not getting the truth, and I don't think we'll ever get the truth out of Anthony Fauci with his $500,000 paycheck and his crazy benefits package and a crazy retirement package that I'm sure he intends to enjoy his sunset years on that platinum parachute. But that should be at stake. I believe if we did rewrite things in the U.S. Code and in the U.S. Constitution, we'd have a provision that you answer as a federal employee, you answer our questions or you don't get your retirement check. You answer our questions and provide the documents we require because we're the taxpayer. We're the one paying you. You're our employee. You answer our questions or we do not send you a check. Do you understand? You work for us. That's the kind of change that has to happen. Lois Lerner, as head of the IRS, when she had questions put to her on the abuses from the IRS, particularly against the Tea Party groups, she took the fifth. Mm-hmm. I don't think a federal employee should be able to take the fifth when they're being asked questions about their position, their employment with we the people. They should be forced to answer those questions.
Absolutely. Greg, hold your thought a moment. I believe we have Miranda on the line. Miranda, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. Yes, I think that so many people have a problem with the massive deception that we have been subjected to, the American people. So many people are just not able to grasp the size and the scope of what has been done in this country. And I think the refusal, they prefer just to keep their blinders on and just to go right along with life and pretend everything's okay. Well, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. I just pray for people to wake up. Wake up. I try to wake some of them up myself. And sometimes
good for you.
I put my foot in it. But
and that's good sometimes.
But I speak up now. I speak up. I'm like, I will not engage if somebody says something. I will come back with what my opinion on that is. And I think that's really important that we all do that. We all need to speak up, just like you're advocating for us all to do. We need to speak up and let our voices be heard, because we're the only sane people in the room.
You got it. That's right. I agree with that 100%. Greg, yeah. How do you respond to Miranda's insights?
The deception, the lies that we've been told. I didn't hear all of what she had to say, but the lies, the deception that we've had put forward from this administration exceeds anything I've ever in my life seen. Let me touch on one little point when it comes to economic things, because it was expressed earlier that Biden in his speech didn't touch on the economy. He didn't touch on the jobs. He didn't touch on the inflation. He didn't touch on the money printing. Well, understand, Democrats, particularly Joe Biden and his, they cannot sing the praises of the economy. Keep in mind, Democrat cities and Democrat states, the ones that shut down and stayed shut down the longest, both in their schools as well as their commercial enterprises. Today, it seems like no one in the Biden administration has the most base knowledge of economics. I mean, economics 101 gives you your supply-demand curve, and where supply and demand meet, that's where you price items. When supply is high and demand is low, prices go down. When supply is low and demand is high, prices go up. They have squelched supply, particularly with oil and gas. They have squelched that supply, shut down the oil pipelines. They have shut down the oil leases. They've suspended permits. They've fought legally on the process of permitting for a new oil and gas exploration. They've shut down offshore leases, like I've said. The pipeline, the Canadian, the XL Keystone XL pipeline. Now there's an 11 or $12 billion lawsuit, it may be more than that, against the United States government now, because this is, they had already spent billions of dollars in the course of getting that permitted, buying the land, buying the material, setting up the contractors, all, and then Biden, with a single stroke of a pen, shuts it all down. Now, keep in mind, that's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the supply-demand curve. But when you squelch supply and at the same time you print money like there's no tomorrow, increasing the money supply by 40%, and then these giveaways on top of this $10,000 to $20,000 giveaway per student, that's going to amount – the low estimate, I believe, is $300 billion. The high estimate's over $1 trillion that will cost the American taxpayer. That is, if you will – created money. That's new money. That has been, because that's debt that's held. That's now going to be. It must be paid. It will be paid by the printing of money. I mean, it's either past or present or future printing of money that will devalue the currency. But it puts money, if you will, in the pockets of these individuals that aren't paying that bill. Literally, when you write off a debt, that's like giving a person that much money. So the idea is it will stoke the economy. The only problem is it will stoke purchasing by individuals that did not earn the money. And as that demand increases and the supply stays the same, inflation goes up. You know, the cost of goods go up. I mean, these are things that, again, economics 101, you'd have some kind of grasp on it. But apparently our education system has fallen to the point, to the degree that the general public has no earthly idea why their paychecks are not going as far. If they did, they would be rioting, protesting in the street. They would be much more upset than they appear to be. I mean, obviously, when the left got upset a couple years ago, they used any excuse necessary to burn towns. By the way, I'm not advocating for that. That's wrong. We should certainly, though, as conservatives, as anyone that understands basic economics, basic human freedoms, we should be saying, hey, this ain't right. Sadly, the individuals that know this ain't right, the individuals that understand we got a big problem, most of those individuals either have jobs or they own and run businesses, and they can't go out and spend a week to drive up to D.C. and protest. And, of course, if they did, they'd be shut out by this leftist fascist system. You know, you just put anytime you see people show up, you put the fences up and block them from an entire region rather than allowing free speech to actually take place. But understand, up is down and down is up in Biden world today.
Absolutely.
Up is down and down is up. Everything is as perverted as it could possibly be.
It has been. Miranda, thank you so much for your call. Do you have any response, any questions in relationship to what Greg just said that will tie into our thought today? Miranda's already gone. Thank you for calling, though. Greg, I'm looking at an article that says, boom, federal judge reveals incumbent President Joe Biden ordered the FBI access to Mar-a-Lago documents dated August the 8th. The Biden, the FBI, DOJ raided President Donald Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago, rifled through his home, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The following day, the White House Press Secretary Jean-Pierre told reporters that Biden learned about the raid in the news just like everybody else. But on pages 2 and 3 of the Judge Cannon's ruling that was just ruled, that was that Joe Biden was the one who directly ordered the FBI to do the raid at Mar-a-Lago, the documents President Trump saw, personal belongings, etc. How do you respond? How should our listeners understand that here's Joe Biden? We're talking about the deception. We're talking about the war against freedom, the war against truth. And Joe Biden himself and his lying press secretary said that Biden knew nothing about it. DOJ and the FBI did that. Now to find out that it wasn't just some little back room. It was a direct order from the President of the United States of America to the DOJ and the DOJ to the FBI to raid President Trump's home. How do we respond to that? Speak to that for just a moment, and then we'll have Tom on the line.
We went through an impeachment fiasco over the reverse with no evidence. When I say with no, so there's nothing, no evidence has been presented that Donald Trump, even with the FBI staged photos, we don't have evidence that Donald Trump has committed the crime of sedition, and that's a component of what they got the warrant based upon, okay? However, Donald Trump had evidence that Joe Biden and Hunter Biden were engaged in some nefarious business dealings and payoffs in Ukraine. And he had a phone conversation with the president of Ukraine and basically, hey, guys, would you look into these things? And that phone conversation, Donald Trump said it was a perfect conversation. I don't know how perfect it was. However, it wasn't a violation that would call for an impeachment of a president. But we went through all that garbage. We went through all that garbage because a president said, hey, would you look into this? Now, this president isn't saying to another president of another country, hey, look into this. He's using all the accoutrements of the presidency, all the tools at his disposal to go on full-blown, what would you call it, scorched earth against his perceived political adversary. That's a very dangerous thing. With an individual wielding all the power that we give him to gain politically, and that's what's taking place today.
Hold your thought for just 1 minute. Tom is on the line. Tom, we've got about 40 seconds. Would you take about 10, 15 seconds of that to ask a question, make a comment? We'll get Greg to close the time of the broadcast today.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, what I was wanting to say is the American clergy is the keeper of the truth and the keeper of the faith. And until they get on board with telling people the truth, this is just going to go round and round the big circle.
Brother, you're exactly right. Greg, how would you respond to that in our closing statements?
At the end of the day, there's a great old quote that says, I'd rather stand with God and be condemned by the world than to stand with the world and be condemned by God. At the end of the day, we answer to, and the truth we find in the scriptures, what we should be sharing every single day.
Right, exactly. Tom, thank you so much. Greg, thank you for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.